So the dead live again. This passage is sometimes referred to as a sneak preview of things to come in Lent. And it's a good time for it too. While we are not as dour as the Lutherans are, it gets to be long during Lent. The period of preparation for Easter, of mourning for us and our lives. We need the hope that comes in these encounters with Jesus, and none more than this one. This one that shows us, yes, the resurrection that is Jesus, and that happened in Jesus, is not for Jesus alone, but for all of us. And so we have Lazarus raised from the dead. But it's funny, Lazarus doesn't say anything about this, not in this passage. And Jesus hardly speaks to Lazarus at all. He only says one sentence, come out. But what we do have here is people who are waiting for the resurrection, is people who are mourning, is people who are preparing, there's people who are getting ready for a death and trying to find all the ways they can to avert it. And I feel like sometimes the fact that Lazarus is raised from the dead does not speak to us in the same way other things might do, because in our preparations for the death of those we love, we do not expect an immediate return to bodily life the way that Lazarus experiences. In fact, Martha didn't expect it either, and neither did Mary. We are like them. We have another expectation of what eternal life means. We may not fully understand what that expectation is, but we do not expect to see our friends and family walking again in the same way. And so I wonder if the truth here for us is not about death itself, but is about the figurative deaths that we see around us all the time. The times we hope for resurrection and return of people that we have loved, not from their physical death, but from their illnesses, from their addictions, from their depression. These things that afflict people, these things that cause us to not recognize the friends and family we once knew. We mourn when we see friends we cannot help, when we see sons and daughters and mothers and fathers who are struggling to be those people we remembered. In some way, we recognize that the moment we had was gone, and we are left with a hope that it can come again. We see in people a spiral down sometimes. We see in people habits we don't like, suffering we can't imagine, illness we only wish we could cure. And we, like Mary and Martha, have done as they did, have sought to heal our family with medicine, have sought to heal our family with therapy, have sought to heal our family with love, have sought to heal our family with both generous love and tough love, and have suffered with them when we have not been successful. Mary and Martha are there seeing Lazarus in his illness, and they have reached out to the person they have the most faith in the world, Jesus Christ, who has assured them through messengers that Lazarus will not die from this illness. And then he dies. And so we wonder what Martha and Mary are thinking. Is there something more we could have done? We know Jesus can heal. We know that this works. We were assured by this person we trust that he would get better. And that did not happen. This is a thing I think we can all relate to. that fear that there was something that we left undone, that even though we acted out of the way we thought was best, out of what we thought was the end of the road for us until we were out of ideas, maybe there was something we could have done differently. Maybe there was something we could have said. Maybe there was someone else we could have asked. Maybe we trusted the wrong person, and if only we'd done the right thing that we did not see, he would be healed. Because that's what we see with Mary and Martha. We see the pain that they have when they come to Jesus, Martha alone as she does, reasserting her faith in Jesus Christ, reasserting that she believes in the resurrection, and Jesus telling her she doesn't quite understand, but without her still understanding it. We talked on Wednesday night, maybe this is brittleness on Martha's part. Maybe this is her way of holding it all together and of living her life and going on. Because she asserts that faith almost too earnestly. She asserts that this resurrection will happen almost too much. Because she starts out by saying, "Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened." That faith that Jesus could have done something differently, but did not. And so in her, there is pain. In Mary, too, there is pain. Mary, who has been the most faithful disciple of Jesus, who has washed and dried his feet with her hair, who has faith as strong or stronger than Martha's, says the same thing to Jesus, "If only you had been here." Again, seemingly rebuking him. But then Jesus does a miraculous thing. Jesus, knowing what these two sisters think of him, weeps too. When Martha encountered him on the road, Jesus did not say, "I could have healed him," but did not. He in some way accepts responsibility and also reassures her, meeting her where she is, saying, "Martha, yes, but I am the resurrection. I am the life. There is still hope for the future. There is still hope now." He meets Martha where she is at and says what she needs to keep it together. Because Martha, as we know from her other encounters, needs to keep it together. She is the one that runs things. She is the one that needs the strength. That is how she mourns, and that is how she celebrates. Mary is slightly different. Mary is weeping with the mourners. Mary does not come to Jesus alone, but brings a crowd with her. She does not need the isolation that Martha does, that need to stay together and keep it together. Mary mourns in a different way. She mourns with tears, and Jesus mourns with her. Jesus feels her pain, and Jesus shares her pain and meets her where she is with sorrow and mourning. This is the God we worship. The God who is with us to celebrate, the God who works miracles, but the God who acknowledges our grief and our sorrow, and the God who reassures us sometimes, "You did the right thing, you did all you can, you do not always have the power of life and death and healing." And so we mourn together. The losses that we feel. We mourn together the senseless deaths that we are sure could have been averted. We mourn together the loss of our friends and our family into people we do not recognize. And we may not understand it, but we understand that we also live life with them, with our love for them. And with our love for one another, knowing that we are all loved children of God, that Lazarus was well loved, but also that Mary and Martha were well loved. And it is hard to see hope in these times. And that is all right. But the story does not end with the mourning. Jesus sits there and takes their rebukes. He sits with them. He absorbs the pain that they feel. But then he shows them something new and something miraculous. Yes, hope is hard to see. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain, in the midst of strangers who were once family. But Jesus reminds them, it is never too late to hope for new life. We do not know what Lazarus' life was like when he came out of that tomb. One imagines it is not the same as when he went into the tomb. We don't know what it was like, but we know that he came out of the tomb. And even if he had not come out of the tomb, he would have lived on in the love and sorrow and joy that is remembered of all of his friends and family. But in this story, he did come out of the tomb. And so it is with so many of our friends and family who may be suffering, who may feel pain, who may not feel able to control their destinies. They may not be able to control it. We may not be able to control it. But maybe for every one of us, there is a new life waiting. There's a new life that could come in the form of healing. It could come in the form of managing these things that are afflicting us. It could come in finding a new way to feel joy and hope. We don't know what it looks like, but what we do know is that the story is not over. That we all die, but we are not dead yet. And that is what Jesus shows us here, what we need to go through this moment that we are feeling, what we need to mourn and also to heal these friends and family around us. We need not stop loving them. We need not be removed from them. We may always have joy for them, even if we come to understand that the help that we give will not, in the end, heal them alone. The hope for us all is that we are loved children of God, that God is with us in the bad times as well as the good times, and that in the wake of any trauma we feel, in the wake of all these illnesses, in the wake of the desperation we feel, there can be new life for us and all of those that we love. No one is beyond the reach of God's healing touch, but we may not understand what that looks like. And we may not be satisfied what that looks like. But the joy is that life continues and we remain loved children of God, each one of us, no matter where on life's journey we are. So in the words that you hear here, about Lazarus, about Mary, about Martha, find yourself and look to the future. We don't know what Lazarus's life looks like. We don't know what our lives look like, but we know they are there, even in times of pain and loss. Life continues and joy comes in the morning.